people told me I couldn't do a lot of things.
I feel like I'm the chosen one.
Look at this. We created this. This didn't exist before we were here. All we are is proud and passionate. I love Toronto. I love this team. And we're going to the NBA Finals.
Nothing matters but winning.
Welcome back to episode 81 of Rapsville Weekly. I'm your co-host, Gabriel Celio, alongside Adam Casucci. Today we have a special guest, our Rapsville correspondent, Enzo Minicucci from Six Side Calcio. If you guys want to listen to that, we're going to have the link to their podcast also in the description, a soccer podcast for the Italian Soccer League. Today we have a couple topics to talk about, kind of a shit show in terms of the Raptors' recent games, the standings, injuries, resting guys. There's a little bit to talk about there, but before we get into that, as always, please like and subscribe. Check us out on Instagram at Rapsville for NBA news and Raptors content. Leave your comments down below. And for our guest season, we will be having special guests on, any fans of the show or other people, friends of ours. So if you'd like to be a part of that, just DM us on Instagram. Once again, at Rapsville.
Okay, so to get us started off today, I just wanted to start off with a general question. Boys, how are we feeling being a Raptors fan right now? Kind of the tempo kind of going on right now. Losing games, game after game, in this tank period. What's your opinion?
Well, if you want me to start off here, by the way, thanks for having me on, boys. Happy to be back. being a Raps fan right now is obviously very difficult with the stretch we're in, and not only stretch, the whole season. Even though it is a fake season, it's kind of annoying because you spend all this time following a team and you get excited every day to watch the game, and then it just comes to the end of the game and we choke and no playoffs since, I think, 2013, if I'm not wrong. So, obviously it's frustrating. You are hopeful for the future when you see guys like Gillespie stepping up, Watanabe having good moments here and there, Boucher, who's been having a great season. You also have guys like GTJ, who's playing well. But right now, obviously, he's in a tough slump. He came in firing, and now he's obviously in a big slump. I don't think I remember the last time he hit a shot. But it's okay. I think this summer is going to be a good chance for the team to get some guys in. And, I'm pessimistic, but at the same time, I'm hopeful for next year, and hopefully we get it all together.
Yeah, I think you can sum it up if you look at the last couple of games. I think we won one game out of the last eight. Just continuous losses, like En said, every game's kind of the same game here. We start off pretty good, put in a good fight, fourth quarter collapse, we end up losing the game somehow, never goes our way. And, I agree with you, Enzo, there's some positive here. There's some young pieces that have had a lot of time to shine and play big minutes and develop. But also, like, as Raptors fans, we hate seeing us lose because, we've been in the playoffs for so long. Our mentality is always to win, and seeing this streak is just horrible. It's not fun to watch for anybody. And seeing the Raptors kind of give up at the end of the season here is also kind of tragic as a fan.
Yeah, you know it's not in our DNA to do this tanking business. We haven't done it for a really long time, in over a decade. So it's really really disappointing. Just looking at the franchise, I think we're in decent shape. I think this summer coming up will be a lot of huge moves and will kind of shape the team for the upcoming year. And moving on to our next one, resting players have continued down the stretch here, obviously with the tanking. And how haven't the Raptors really been fined again? Like, they've been fined once, which we've mentioned before on the pod, but for the second time, like, the same guys are resting and there's no apparent injury. Gabe, I know you're really good in depth on this topic. You want to go into it?
Yeah, okay. I'll start with this first. I think we got fined $25,000 as a team, for the last time we did this, kind of failing to, write injuries properly. We're not really reporting them. It's because they're not real injuries. They're kind of fake injuries, and we're trying to use that as a way to get out of resting players and tanking games. But you could see in this stretch that we've lost seven games out of the past eight. We're clearly not trying to win. We've seen Lowry rest like a bunch of games over the past month. He hasn't played. I believe he's only played one quarter of the games in the final third of the season here. Out of the 28 games that have passed, he's only played in seven of them. So between injury and rest, it's just horrible seeing the amount of times he's been sitting, and Fred, they're kind of mixing between injury and rest, OG and Siakam now. The whole team seems to be, out for the season by the way that they're playing. You never see them in a game. Every game is a different lineup. I think we've had about 32 or 33 different lineup changes, starting lineups. There's no consistency with this team. We're falling apart. It seems to be like the full-on tank, and it sucks to watch as a fan because of all the resting and the injuries. Like, I don't know what this team has become, that we rest guys every single game and we haven't seen some of our favorite players play on a consistent level in a very long time.
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating. But shout out to Fred VanVleet, obviously being the highest paid coach out there in the league right now with those the golf shirt he's been rocking. So congrats to Fred on being the highest paid coach. And obviously it's frustrating. You have all this talent on the team, guys like OG, who I think if we are tanking, I still think OG should be playing. Obviously it's going to hurt the tank because it's going to help us win. But OG is still young. I'd like to see him get more NBA minutes as a not a first option, because he won't be a first option for us, but it would be nice for him to be a first option to kind of experience that pressure and to put that leadership mentality into his head, because at times when we are playing in the future, he will have to be a leader. But overall, yeah, it's frustrating. Kyle, as a big Kyle fan, and obviously every Raptors fan is a Kyle fan, but having to see Kyle constantly sit out when you think he might be gone in the summer, we don't know what his future is, but you would like a better send-off than this. I'd like to see Kyle play as much as possible, and we're not getting that. I'm sure he's going to play before the end of the season. He has to get that final game, or else I'll be furious with management, because they're kind of ripping us away from that final Kyle game, which we almost saw there against the Nuggets before the trade deadline, but then he ended up staying. Yep. But now we know what's going to happen. So, obviously I'd like to see us play more. I don't mind seeing Pascal get benched. He did a good job of leading the tank. That's why of all of our top players, he was the one that was playing, because he's the worst one, and he led the tank well, the tank leader. So, I'd like to see Pascal back in there and with his group, you know, guys in the G League where he belongs. So, yeah.
Yeah, very interesting opinion, Enzo, but I do agree there. And my opinion is I think it really started with the resting players really when they saw the chance to make the playoffs. Now you can't do anything. Now it's way too late. You look at before when they were in the chase, there was no really initial push to kind of get there. And that's where I think the Raptors made the mistake. And yeah, and that's why I think we didn't make it. Well, we're resting our leader, Kyle Lowry, in the biggest game possible. And I don't know. I think Masai Ujiri really made a mistake in not giving an extra push. And I don't know, like I said before, with the communications behind the scenes, Bobby Webster, how they discuss it, and how a rest, or because rest should not be happening with athletes being paid millions. Like, that's just my opinion. I'm thinking injuries, I totally understand. And if something is needed, personal reasons or whatever, I totally understand. But rest, I don't see the point of it. I get like injury load management if you've had a major injury before in the past. But other than that, rest, if you're making that much money a year, you should be there for the team 24/7, man.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I think, I don't know how we haven't gotten fined, because I understand the load management, injuries, you got to rest guys, but like, it's been a lot of rest for a lot of players, specifically Kyle Lowry, the amount of games he's resting. I'm surprised they haven't said anything about it. You know, no COVID. He is old in age, but there was no back-to-backs, no serious injury. Very weird. And I also agree with Enz, you know, having him see, like, we could be having a final game here as a Raptor. Kyle Lowry, you know, you're not going to get a send-off. We need to see him in these past couple of games. It's very frustrating to watch. And talking about that push, Masai, I really felt like the opportunity was missed there. Like, we had so many chances where we were still within three games, and we just let it slip by, winning one, losing one, just by resting players.
Yeah, why not give us a shot at the playoffs and continue that streak, you know? But anyways, the next topic here is, can the Raptors kind of have the excuse of not being able to see their families and being the only team to have really, really to adjust by COVID, having kind of that continental switch, kind of having to move to Tampa, not being their home and having to play their home games there and not being able to see their family? How does that affect them?
Well, yeah, definitely it's going to have an impact, obviously. When you're not sleeping in your own bed, your own sheets, your own pillow, not aware of your surroundings, coming to a completely new place last minute, because it was very last minute, I think it was like November 24th or something. They still did not know where they're going to be playing, and the season began, I believe, December 23rd, around there at least. And it was very short notice for them. Obviously, most of them, well, all of them rented their house. Apparently, Pascal bought his mom a house in Tampa. Maybe he can move in and play for Miami. But, moving on with it, it is an excuse. Obviously, as a fan, it's frustrating because you want to watch your team. These teams are getting an advantage because if you're playing the Raptors, you're still home. There's more fans of American teams than the Canadian team. Like, there's only one of us, it's 29 of them. So if we're home, we're going to hear we're playing the Hawks. When you're Hawks fans, we're playing the Heat. We're going to play the Heat, well, especially the Heat. They have like 500 fans when we play there. It feels like we're in a playoff game. We're playing Miami, and we're home. So it's going to have an impact. Obviously, psychologically, it's not good for the players because I think the Raptors, out of every team in the league, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we really boost off our fans the most from, out of any other team. I think we have the best home crowd in the NBA, and I think it's a big part of our success. They really spur us on. We got guys like Boucher who lives off the crowd. Pascal, as much as I don't like him, I think he lives off the crowd as well. Just players like that who just love playing off the energy of the crowd, and we don't have that right now. And obviously every team doesn't have that, but it's very different when every single game you're away from home. It's not like you have peace and quiet. You have the other team chanting, you suck, this, that. It's hard to play under those circumstances. So, yeah, I do think it was a big impact and hurt our season.
Yeah, Pascal Siakam talked about it. One of the big games we played, having the home fans in Tampa kind of boom at the free throw line. Like you said, it's a huge impact. If you think about it, game in, game out, you don't have any fans supporting you. You always have to deal with the boos and stuff. And I agree. I'll back you on that. I think we do have the best fan base in the league, and we do really feed off the energy of the crowd, and it's much needed not being able to play there. Obviously, all of the players, Kyle, Fred, they're all talking about how much they missed Toronto and playing back at home. And some of these new guys, they haven't even experienced the crowd yet. You know, I feel like they'll fall in love with the city even more when they get that opportunity, like Birch, Trent, Watanabe, Gillespie, all these guys that are coming in now fresh. So I really feel like it's a huge downfall. As much as an excuse goes, I'll give them a little bit of pass here. I feel like the bubble, it was the same for everybody. I think here now we're the one team that gets affected a little bit more than everybody else, so it's definitely tough. And considering how much we fell compared to the previous seasons, I think part of that has to be acknowledged, because I do know that we do have a solid team still. We do have pieces that can play basketball, and I think we're still a playoff contending team, especially in this system with the play-in. We definitely should have been a part of it. So I think that there is a little bit of an excuse that can be made because of this situation with COVID and having to stay in Tampa.
Yeah, I feel there is a little bit of an excuse that can be made. I know that a lot of the Raptors players won't want to say it because they're very humble and they don't like to make excuses. But it's very hard not to come home to your family at night. And if you've had a bad game, you got your wife there to cheer you on, to be on your side, and then your kids kind of make you happy. So there's a lot of things that the players are missing, just with love and their mental state as well. And I think that's what hurts them the most. But yeah, I think, like you said, Gabe, we had a chance, and it's just disappointing. Moving on to our next one. Is Nick Nurse's coaching style outdated? And does he need to find an identity for this team? Like we were with the 2018-19 championship team, how we would hustle, how we played. And early, playing with our defense first and kind of having that adjustment.
Yeah, it's very outdated. As outdated as the 70s, I feel like we're playing in, you know. Nick Nurse, number one, in the clutch, he's terrible. He keeps giving the ball to Pascal. Stop forcing it on him. You can tell when someone's a closer, and Pascal is not a closer. I think Fred and Gary have also had, one shot all season for the final shot of the game, and they both hit it. So they're 1-for-1, and Pascal, what is he, 0-for-9, 0-for-8, something like that? That's the number one thing that really annoys me. You can be good, you can coach all game, you can coach well all game, but it doesn't matter if you don't win. And at the end of the game, I feel like he's always forcing the ball to Pascal. Even when we need a three, he's giving it to him. We have guys like Fred, Kyle, Gary. The guys can hit threes, even Boucher. And you're giving it to Pascal. So, yeah, it's really frustrating the way he's coaching. I think he's single-handedly lost us a lot of games. And even with the rotation, at the beginning of the season, kept making the same excuse for, I think, 3 months, saying, oh, I don't know the rotation, I don't know how these players play. We had a short preseason, just all these excuses. Like, he still didn't have a rotation. We've had, 285 different lineups. So, yeah, it's very outdated. And do we need a new coach? Maybe. Masai, hopefully, he's gone too. I know his contract's running up, so hopefully we never see him again, and he can go to New York and live out his dream there. So, yeah.
Strong take there, Enz. I think if tonight was a different lineup, I can't recall. It might be the 35th, or if it wasn't, 34 different starting lineups. So you're not too far off on the number. There's such a lack of consistency, starting lineups, play styles. End of the game, I do agree. It seems to be the same thing. Just put the ball in Pascal's hands. Don't really drop any plays. Kind of give it to him every opportunity, even if it's not his shot, like we have to chuck up a three. It seems very weird that that's the mindset that Nick Nurse is taking here and not giving other guys opportunities or setting other players up who he knows can hit big shots. And then for me, I think it's also the defense, the tactics. He is unorthodox in his approach. He uses stuff like the box end one, which isn't used often, only like in high school. And it found success against Curry, and then Bradley Beal kind of like called it out for being a joke. And also his idea of double teaming and zone defense. At times it can be different, something to shake up the offensive team and see how they do under the pressure of it. But at some times it just looks flat out stupid. And I feel like Nick Nurse is kind of getting caught in this trap of thinking it always works. And it hasn't seemed to found a whole lot of success. So I really think he needs to reevaluate his styles. And those different lineups kind of attribute to what Adam was saying of there's no real identity here. Every game feels like a different game. A different offensive structure, a different flow. There's such a lack of consistency. We talked about it last time on the pod, but I'll just reiterate it. There's such a lack of consistency in this team, and you never know how these games are going to go because there doesn't seem to be an identity to how we play basketball when there's all these different plans set up and there's no real offense. Sometimes there's just people taking the ball and ISOing it. It's a mess, in my opinion.
Yeah, I have to give it to Nick Nurse. He doesn't have the personnel in place with the past teams. And he can kind of put one guy like Kawhi Leonard and lock down an opponent's star. We don't really have that anymore. We're trying to get OG into that role. He has handled it quite well, but he's still learning in terms of guarding like the top players in the league. But Nick Nurse, I watch this guy after every game, every interview, and he's just like a parody. Just repeats the same things. The ball didn't bounce our way. Our team's still adjusting. What adjusting? It's the end of the season. You're putting in new guys. Like, I think he's just lost in his own approach, and he just doesn't want to admit that, like, his approaches here haven't worked. The double teaming, these certain schemes that have worked in the past with different personnel haven't been working this season. And that's where I think he just has to admit that he didn't do the job right. And I know it's hard because you don't want to lose your job as a coach, and you don't really want to say that to the media. But at some times, you just got to be honest. And I would really appreciate if he just came out and said, like, he's not doing the best job this season. Obviously, with the personnel, he hasn't done much. But I just want a little bit more honesty in that regard.
Yeah, and one more thing I want to add to what I didn't mention before. There's a play, for those of you who don't know, it's called Horns in basketball. It's an offensive set, which we used earlier on in the season, which I really liked. Two bigs that are setting a ball screen, and then one rolls and one will stay for the pop. And we haven't used that in a long time. We rarely use it. I don't know why we stopped. It got us a lot of wins that we needed. We used it against Philly heavy and really helped us get that win on that stretch where we beat, I think, Milwaukee, Philly. You know that stretch we had mid-year.
Yeah.
And we stopped using horns for some reason. I have no idea why. It's such an effective play. Like, for example, Greg Popovich used it a lot when he was going on the big run up the Spurs. So, yeah, that's one thing I wanted to mention, too. I don't know why he stopped using it. It seems to try too many things out, which costs a lot of games. Just stick to what we're good at and keep it there because he experiments way too much.
Yeah, and then sometimes he gets too stingy with an approach when something does work. And he's just all over the place. I think just this season didn't work out with all the different pieces moving and everything just being scrambled. But I do have to give it to him for trying to stick together and trying to get this team together and trying to make a playoff run, even though he doesn't have the personnel in the lineup because of rest, because of injuries, because of everything. He still gives it a go, which I totally respect.
We're going to go over each game now, and we're going to have a bit to talk about in this Washington game. So this one ended 131-129 for Washington in overtime. It was a bit of a back and forth the entire game. Pascal Siakam was our leading scorer this game, and for the first three quarters, I would say, of the game, he really dominated, had his way with defenders, and by the end of the night, he had 44 points, 11 boards, 7 assists on 17 for 28 shooting, but 4 turnovers. He did have support from Trent, who put up 25 points on 8 for 16 shooting. I believe that was his first game back. Fred had 22, 6, and 5 on 7 for 25 shooting, and Birch 17 and 9. Those were the main scores for our team. And the fourth quarter kind of got a little rough. Couple mistakes on all ends. Pascal Siakam had a couple of bad decisions. I believe he had two missed free throws in the final minute of the game, two missed shots. And I think he had one turnover, offensive foul, I believe. He really was struggling at the end and choked it often like he has been and that we've called him out for in the past. And then right at the end, Fred VanVleet hit a big three-pointer, very clutch, to percent it to OT. And the problem with OT was then that was an absolute mess where there was a stretch where Fred missed like three, I think, jumpers in one possession and Trent missed another jumper. And there was just like, we couldn't make a bucket to save our life, and we ended up losing the game very unfortunately. And we kind of got into a little bit of an Instagram scuffle with some of our supporters who kind of had to think to say about Pascal Siakam and thinking he had a more clutch game than Fred VanVleet. Adam?
Yeah, he was saying a bunch of things about Pascal, and then further on in the conversation we were kind of discussing, and today he sent me a video of Kyle Lowry and all his playoff misses and his game time shot misses and everything negative about him, and he was saying how Pascal is better in the clutch, and I laughed. And I just said that, first of all, Lowry has been here for triple the time as Pascal has, so his tenure is much, much longer. He's had to construct and build the team throughout his years, and he's had to be that vocal guy when Kawhi wasn't here. Also with DeRozan, he was that guy as well, taking shots at the end of games. And I thought he did a much better job than Pascal Siakam. I'm just going to be straight up honest. Even at the beginning, he did hit a couple game winners. Obviously with Miami, with Cleveland. So we've seen him hit shots, big shots at the end of the games. And Pascal, we haven't seen it yet. So just to make that, to rationalize that, that's just a stupid statement from a fan. And guys, please, if you want to DM us, we're very friendly. We would like to talk basketball all day, but please educate yourself before talking negative about certain different players. Because when we talk negative about players, it's really criticizing them and saying what they have done wrong, and not just for the stupidity of it, you know?
And do you have any take on that final game there, Washington versus Raptors?
I wish I didn't watch it to start off. It was a frustrating game, like all of these games I've been watching lately. Pascal, like you said, Gabe, played well for three quarters. I was very impressed. He's had a good stretch of games lately, for the first three quarters at least. And then the classic Pascal, you know, that stupid offensive foul, same thing every time. I don't know, maybe he's blind or a zero IQ, but same thing tends to happen every game. So, ran right into the guy, head down, going to the basket, offensive foul, missed a free throw as always. I don't think he's ever hit two free throws straight in the clutch in his career. I can't remember one time. And, obviously missed the shot. Fred, fantastic. Save the game there, and I'm not gonna get mad at Fred for OT because the game should have never been an OT. Pascal could have closed the game for us at four different occasions in the final 2 minutes, and he didn't. So I'm not too mad about OT. Obviously, it's frustrating when I think Fred missed like two on the wing and one in the corner, all wide open, and Gary missed one at the top of the arc. But I don't think we should have been in OT in the first place. And overall, it's just a frustrating result. But what Adam was saying about a fan going off on Kyle Lowry and saying how he's a choker, I think people need to realize that the clutch is not only offense, but also defense. And I can name at least 1,000 times where Kyle Lowry has taken a charge with 2 minutes left and we're down. He's made big defensive plays time and time again. I can even name one with DeMar's return home. We stole a ball and laid it off to Kawhi, one of the probably best moments in Raptors history. Three players who Raptors fans keep really dearly in their heart. But yeah, the clutch is not just about hitting shots, also about playing defense, and Pascal does neither, so to compare him to Kyle is ridiculous.
All right, I think you said it best. Moving on to this Grizzlies game, another one, man, you know, all of our guys out with rest / injury. The only two starters that remained were Siakam and Birch. We lost this one 109-99. All these games are the same. They're all tough to watch, really. Malachi Flynn had a pretty good performance, so I'll give him a shout-out. 15-7-3 on 6-for-11 shooting. Watanabe got back in double digits with 11. Trent and Siakam both had 18 points on the night, but neither shot quite well. Harris had a really big game, 16-6-4, 5-for-12 shooting and a steal. I believe that was his career high. Honestly, seeing a lot more of Jalen Harris and liking a lot more from him as well. There was some times, even this game that we just watched, where he's been turning the ball over and stuff. But offensively, at least, I think he's got a bit of a groove, and his shot selection is pretty solid. He shoots the ball well. You know, his three ball's quite impressive. And he's kind of just been really aggressive in his time, probably because he hasn't got a lot of these minutes. And I think that with the time he's been given, he's really trying to show off his skill, possibly to secure a contract maybe for next year. So I really liked what I saw from him. And then for Memphis, it was the JV show. He had 18 and 21. He really looked for that 20-20 night. He also had four blocks. He just basically ate on the offensive end. He just kind of backed guys down and made easy posts all night. No one could stop him. And then also with Jaren Jackson, another huge force, putting up 20 points, attacking the rim. Problem for Birch and Siakam to contain. And that pretty much summed up the game, I think.
Yeah, it was the JV revenge tour. Every time he faces us, he does great. He puts the ball in the net. He rebounds. He blocks. He plays really hard to show us why we shouldn't have traded him. But in a lot of ways, I think Jalen Harris is the positive here. His talent is a bit raw right now as we're seeing it, but his basketball IQ, like you said, Gabe, is off the charts for a rookie, and I think that will take him over the edge, and that will keep him in the rotation. He's a longer guard and very different from like a Fred or Lowry, and he brings different aspects on the defensive end. He can switch. He can play a little bit of post defense. He's not too short in there. So there's a lot of different things that we can use Harris in there.
For the most part, I've seen pretty solid defense. Also coming a little bit taller, 6'5". I think that's also been his advantage. Can he play probably both guard positions? And like you said, the IQ has been pretty impressive. All right, and then the final game, the Clippers versus the Raptors. We lost this one 115-96. What a horrible game. It was just one of the worst probably basketball games I've seen in a while. You know, we've had many nights where our players can't shoot well at all, whether it be Trent or Lowry or Fred or Siakam, OG. Everyone's had rough nights, even Boucher. There's been stretches where a lot of guys shot bad. I've seen some bad games this season. But this one, for me, I think was the worst offensively structured game I've seen. You know, there's nights where you shoot bad, but this night it felt like there was like just no actual offense. Like there was it didn't seem like there's any plays. Everything felt like ISO. One guy gets the ball and one guy shoots the ball. There's nothing created, not passing and moving. It literally just seemed like put the ball in someone's hands and everyone kind of just zones around, comes forward and backwards, and someone just makes a cut and a shot. It was a very simple and sloppy defense. It reminded me of when we play like NBA 2K. Like that's how the offense seemed. It's like there was no communication or no flow, no chemistry. It was just such an ugly game to watch. And I think you guys can agree with me on that. Like the amount of turnovers, missed shots, people not connecting passes and bobbling the ball in their hands. Like it was like a horrible game to watch.
Yep, I totally agree. It was a very strange scenes in this one. Zubac, I thought, played well for the Clippers. And once again, if the opponent has a 7-foot big, it really bothers us and we have no stop to it. I mean, Ken Birch, he holds his own under there, for his height and weight and he does a great job, but sometimes he just can't do anything. Like sometimes he gets overpowered as well. So there has to be schemes put in place and they have to know, but before looking at the matchups the night before saying we're going to be facing this guy. All right. What are the schemes and how can we break this down? All these problems that he brings and how do we play great defense on him? And there you go. And you start spreading ideas and see which one works or just work on it at practice. Like these things are just not improving. I don't know if it's the different personnel coming in and out of the lineup. You can make that excuse all day, but that's not a real excuse. Whichever players you put in, they should know the system. They've been in long enough. Gillespie, Birch, the newest guys, they've played a bunch of games already, so they should kind of understand the concept of the defense.
Yeah, and don't forget the double teams and the high steps off the screens. That's been, I think, one of the killers for us is like Gillespie and Birch. If they step off that high screen because there's someone like Kawhi Leonard on the other end of it, the center that rolls can go all day with that. Zubac, you saw how many powerful dunks he had in wide open slams, or he gets inside now against a smaller guard like Malachi Flynn or Harris. I think between JV, Jaren Jackson, Zubac, we saw these past two games, like that was the main reason that those centers were just dominating games.
Yeah, definitely. That game was horrendous to watch. Like Gabe said, might be the worst game, if not one of the worst games. Definitely offensively, it was terrible to watch. Some guys did have a nice game. I think Gillespie, I watched him in the G League for the Hustle, Memphis, and he was a good player. I didn't think he'd be doing as good as he is right now. I thought he'd do well, but not this well. He's been surprising me. I think his only downfall right now is sometimes he forces up, but one of those, like, I don't even consider it a fade. It's a weird, like, little hook mid-range shot he goes for. I can't describe. It's like a push shot a bit. But that needs to fix up a little bit. And also his post defense at times can be questionable, but it's also because he is a smaller five. He's thick, but height-wise not the biggest, so he can struggle with guys like Zubac. But Harris, like Adam was saying before too, Harris has been doing a really good job since the beginning of bigger minutes, and he's actually been doing better for us than he did for the G League. For the G League, he had a couple really good games and a couple I'd rather not talk about, especially in the playoffs. But yeah, I'm happy with how a couple guys are playing, but overall it's just a mess. And it's going to happen now. I think they all know it's time to go home. Reports have been coming out. They're ready to pack their bags and head out of here. So I think they're struggling to play as much as we're struggling to watch them.
Yeah, I think something else I've noticed about Gillespie happens to be, like, on those plays where there's a double team, once the guy in the double passes out of it, like, let's say Kawhi Leonard is getting caught in a double team and he passes to, like, Paul George on one of the wings, once the ball moves, I feel like Gillespie struggles to get back to find his man or get back to the center and kind of get him in box position to box out. I feel like he's a little slow on that, and that'll come with development. But yeah, I think everyone's had really tough games, and everyone shot poorly. You know, Boucher, first game back, he only shot 33%. Trent, horrible, 3 for 16. That must be somewhere like 18%. Flynn, 4 for 10. Watanabe, 3 for 9. Rare to see guys over 50% here. No one stood out in terms of scoring. Everyone kind of had the same margin, somewhere around 10 points, Boucher being the high of 16 and 7. But everyone kind of sat around the same spot, and people just took turns having their chances to score and ISO and whatever, but there was no real offensive structure, no real game plan, no guy that took over the game for us. I just thought some performances were decent, some were pretty good, and some were way below average, and everyone kind of leveled out at the same spot. Meanwhile, for them, Zubac, 18 and 10, dominated us. Kawhi Leonard, 27 and 5. He had his fun, 2 steals as well. Marcus Morris, senior, 14 points. He did a good job scoring. And then Paul George, he shot poorly. But I think one of the real killers was Terrence Mann. This guy came out and shot 7 for 7, perfect from the field. Had 20 points on the night. He was impressive to watch. I know, Adam, you wanted to say a couple things about him probably.
Yeah, I've seen him coming out of college too with Florida State. He was great. Another long guard, I think 6'5", very athletic, can dunk the ball. Has very good passing and could shoot the ball. Yeah, and I think he's a great player, and I think the Clippers got a good one there. Great steal. And yeah, I just think this season, I think the players just want it to end. You can see it in their faces. You can see it on the bench. They just don't look motivated anymore to kind of get that W. And I think at the end, and then the tank situation, so it's like whatever. I think they'll just take the losses, and that's not my mentality, though. That is not the mentality that the Raptors have, and I'm sure Masai doesn't like it either.
I agree with you, but I think we've all kind of clocked out, man. Watching games feels like a chore at this point, and the players aren't even showing up. You know, they're not even dressed. They're resting, whatnot. It just seems like a total weird season, but I think we just got to get ready in the offseason. Guys got to work out, make a big change. I think this could be a big offseason for Siakam if he tries to figure out why the past two seasons weren't as effective for him. Coaching and obviously management, if there's changes there, that's going to be big, as well as where will Kyle Lowry go. So I think those will be the questions we will be answering for you guys in the upcoming episodes. Any last words, guys, or we're good?
Yeah, I'm all good. Just thank you for having me on. I think it's my third time on, so I appreciate it. And hopefully next time I'm on, it's after something good happens, because usually when I come on here, it's always on a negative note. But maybe after we somehow get the first pick from the draft lottery, I'll be on.
That'd be near mathematically impossible, but honestly, that'd be a great episode to make. Yeah, so I think that's pretty much it, guys. We hope you all enjoyed. Check us out on Instagram at Rapsville for NBA news, Raptors content. Please like and subscribe. And we're gonna one last podcast, I think, for the last three games of the season, and then we'll see what we can do with the guests. But we hope you all enjoyed. That's us signing out. Peace.
Peace.
You know, people don't really understand how obsessed I am with winning. It's not, I don't care about anything else.